thankful for that. But Jesus knew that after he arose from the dead and ascended to the Father, that the Father was going to give him his request for their souls, and that he would pour out joy unspeakable and full of glory, the Spirit of God. And when this happened, so much joy was poured out on these disciples that the onlookers there in Jerusalem accused them of being drunk. And they were drunk, but it was on a new kind of wine. Isn't Jesus, by saying all this to his disciples, telling them that they were not yet born again? Isn't that reasonable? Isn't that a reasonable conclusion? Just as the woman had not come to the time of her birth, and that's why she was sorrowful in such pain, so the disciples, while Jesus was living with them, had not come to their birth, and they were very sorrowful when he told them that he was about to die. Now, during this very same Last Supper scene, the disciples were sitting around Jesus at the table, and they were telling Jesus how devoted they were to him. And Jesus told them, "You're all going to forsake me this night. You're going to leave me alone." Peter spoke up and said, "No, sir, I will die for you." And all the disciples joined in after that, but Jesus was not confused by what they said. He said, "You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows, Peter." He said, "Satan has desired to have you, Peter, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail." Now, this is the Simon Peter that Jesus called from his fishing boat, the same one that walked on the water, the one that had cast out devils using the power Jesus had given him, the same Peter who had healed the sick, the same one who stood with Jesus over 3 years of ministry and suffered the persecution and hatred that came from that. But notice what Jesus is about to say to this disciple at the end of verse 32 in Luke 22. Jesus said, "Peter, when you are converted, I want you to strengthen your brothers." When you are converted. In other words, Peter was not converted. He was not born again. Many have taught or just assumed that the disciples were converted sometimes during Jesus' ministry because they confessed they believed in him and they professed that they knew him, they suffered with Jesus, and they believed that he was from God, but they were not born again. Now look, there may be confusion in some of our minds when we let our reasoning capacities go where it may without being based on the revelation of God. We can confuse ourselves and each other. There may be confusion in our minds as to when the new birth is. But there is no confusion in the mind of Jesus. Jesus is not confused by what we think. He was not confused by what the disciples thought, nor is he confused by the great theologies of the great denominations or the great evangelists of our time. Jesus overcame the world. He is not a victim of it. He loved his disciples, and he prayed for his disciples. He died for his disciples. But he was not fooled as to whether they were born again or not. He knew they were not. In Matthew 18:1, Jesus had to deal again with his disciples debating over who was going to be second in command in this kingdom they thought Jesus was about to set up on earth. They frequently got into arguments, quarrels even, about who was going to be the greatest in Jesus' kingdom when he threw the Romans out and set up his kingdom. Even during the Last Supper in Luke, we're told about that. But here in Matthew 18 is another time when they were quarreling about it. And Jesus said to them in Matthew 18, "I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." He was not speaking philosophically here. The "you" there is plural. He's talking to the group of his disciples. "Unless you guys are born again, you're never going to see the kingdom of heaven." He knew they were not born again. They were not born again because it has been revealed to us that the New Testament or the new birth had not been given yet. Remember Hebrews 9?